Welcome to the third edition of Red Cedar Ranker.
Third edition.
That was the cool intro that you may have heard if we actually have one, but probably we don't. My name is Ed. I am the co-sidekick of this program along with my co-sidekick, Stefan. Hello, how are you?
Very good. Thank you for asking for once. That's very polite of you.
Good.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
That was faux compassion.
I don't have any compassion.
We're joined this week by two members from the Greek community, the president of the Panhellenic Council. I had to stop and think about that, and I said, president, is that a gender-neutral term? Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Alyssa Fritz, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
And the president, since it's a gender-neutral term, of the Intrafraternity Council, Blair Montgomery, welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, so why don't you take a moment to kind of just introduce yourselves, tell us who you are, what you do as president of your organizations, and, you know.
One fun fact.
Yes,
Yes.
That's fair.
You want to go first?
Or a fact. We'll take a fact.
Yeah, it can be a not fun fact.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll go first. Yeah. Hi, my name is Alyssa. I am the president of Panhellenic Council. And essentially, what I do as president is I'm just a liaison between the Greek sororities here on campus and the East Lansing community and the Michigan State communities. I sit on a lot of various boards throughout the university, the Celebrations Committee, UAB, meet with ASMSU, things of that nature. Fun fact.
Come on. Well, there's got to be a fact.
I'm a senior this year, and I'm also a member of the Alpha Chi Omega sorority here on campus, and I was president of that chapter prior to being president of Panhellenic Council.
It's like House of Cards. She's accumulated.
I'm going to go ahead and say that was a medium fun fact.
I know. You gotta give me a minute.
Okay.
All right. Sure. We'll give you a minute.
We might come back.
Yep. You will have an opportunity after Blair introduces himself to redeem and come up with another fact if you'd like. Yeah. That's part of the game.
All right. Am I good to go?
Yeah, Blair, you can introduce yourself.
Okay. Name's Blair Montgomery. I'm current IFC president here on campus. A lot of the similar things that Alyssa kind of mentioned. Our organizations are totally separate, but same time, they are very commonly associated with, you know, with each other, and we do a lot of things together. So, you know, mostly, you know, one of the biggest things is obviously her and I just kind of, we're essentially like almost advisors per se to chapter presidents throughout campus. So, just kind of trying to help them, whatever the case, you know, case may be, whether it's risk management or recruitment or finances or whatever the case may be. And typically everyone that's on each of our exec boards, is more so an experienced member in their chapter. I think she's got a couple presidents that were, you know, previous presidents, and out of the, you know, the nine members that I have, four of us are previous presidents too. So I was president of the Sigma Chi fraternity on campus last year. Crazy experience to say the least, but that's kind of what guided me to where I am today. So fun fact about IFC. Oof.
Or about you personally?
Me personally?
Yeah, personally.
Yeah, that's what I was,
yeah. That's what we're angling for.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Fun fact. Okay, so diehard Michigan State sports fan, like insane, like I'm a lunatic. Probably something the guys in my chapter house make fun of me a lot for, but just a little weird random fact. I actually just got back 3 a.m. this morning. I went to Starkville, Mississippi for the Mississippi State-Auburn football game because my roommate's from there, sister's in a sorority down there, and he's always talking about it, how it's the greatest thing ever in SEC football. So I was like, let's go do it.
And what was it, as good as you had hoped?
It was pretty cool. I was very surprised. So it was a fun experience. It was just kind of an impulse decision, and I work off this weekend, and we were like, let's do this. And it's like a 13 and a half hour drive, and needless to say, the back roads of Mississippi can be a little boring.
So, troubling.
Yeah.
I have a technical challenge on your fun fact.
Okay.
You said you're a diehard MSU fan.
Yes.
Is it any MSU? So Mississippi State University counts?
That's why it was pretty weird.
Yeah, that is strange.
I kind of forgot that they are also MSU, so it was kind of like my MSU of the South. So diehard Spartan, not a diehard Bulldog fan, but it was a cool experience to say the least. So I guess if I have an SEC team that I'm pulling for temporarily, it will be them, I guess.
Fantastic. Now, Having heard Blair's fun fact, do you want to take another opportunity to give a fun fact your own? You don't have to. Because I have a follow-up question about both Panhell and IFC.
What's the question?
How many members are on your boards? Is it made up of representatives of each of the current fraternity sororities on campus? What's the composition of the actual groups?
We have we currently have nine members. We added a new member this year as a vice president of alumni relations that will kind of be adding on to that position as well. It's not mandatory that we have someone from obviously every fraternity because we have 30 fraternities on campus. So, but you can have at most two members from one chapter on the IFC exec board. So like me and my roommate, we're both from Sigma Chi. So no one else from Sigma Chi could currently be on IFC. Same way, we have a couple guys in our exec board from Triangle. I think that's the only duplicates, but typically there's a handful, pretty wide variety from some of the larger fraternities or smaller fraternities, and having those, I guess, two separate dynamics allows us to work together from different experiences. So it helps out a ton usually. So one of the things I've been trying to do is just trying to get chapters that haven't typically had someone on the IFC exec board to kind of run for position coming up in these next couple of weeks when we do elections, just to kind of, I can definitely say like it helps my chapter out a ton. They know more what's going on. They're more prepared with, with things. And I would like to see, other chapters kind of go that same route. So yeah, it's similar for her as well.
Yep. We have 10 members on council. So last year we just added a VP of philanthropy. Faith Kroglaki, she actually works here.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's our very own Faith. Yes, you may listen to Faith on the radio.
Faith is awesome.
Yeah, Faith is great. So we have 10 members, similar to IFC. We have 14 member sororities on campus, so not everyone can have representation, but you can't have more than two members from your chapter on Panhellenic Council at one time. So we have a couple of duplicates too, but definitely try to get as much range as possible.
And did you want to...
Redemption?
Did you want to put a new fact in?
Yeah.
Fun or otherwise?
You went to Europe this summer. That was
I
fun.
Did. Oh, yeah.
How could you not mention Europe? Yeah. Hold on.
It seems like it was ages ago. I studied abroad in Europe. It was great. I studied food, so it was even better.
Where did you go? Did you go to Britain?
I went to London.
How could you forget going to London?
That should have.
Stefan is from London or some other place in Britain.
In the vicinity. Thank
you. That's only London, I think.
That's kind of how everybody is. If you're from Michigan, everybody in Europe or other countries says, Detroit.
Yeah, that's true.
Eminem. Do you know Eminem?
We all know him. Yeah. Very, very common figure.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as much as you can know any man.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too philosophical this early.
Wait, so you studied food in London?
Well, I was only in London for 4 days, so.
Okay.
Didn't take that long to study food in London.
Fish and chips, some good.
Oh, what? You could have a steak and kidney pie.
Food technologies that don't use flavor.
It's boiled food is still food. It still has food in it, okay?
Yes, the British taught us that all you have to do is heat it up. You probably didn't know that there's a lot of anti-British sentiment on this program.
Okay. Yeah.
Mostly from me.
Yeah, only from you. Exclusively from
Technically from me. So this is the area of the show where we do a little Go Green roundup of Spartan news. Just talking about things going on campus.
My story is more rumor based. I like a bit good rumor or two.
Oh.
So as many of you have heard, the 2016 film Batman versus Superman is filming somewhere in the Lansing area. Mm-hmm. We have no idea where. The Lansing State Journal seems to believe for some reason that might be the Broad Art Museum this week. Any of your friends, I believe casting has already taken place if you want to be an extra. Is that?
Yeah, all my roommates have already applied for it. Yeah.
Oh, wait, they have?
They had to upload headshots and everything. I was like, this is so weird.
Oh, wow. Okay, did any of them get to...
They haven't heard anything yet, though, but not very good-looking guys, so they might take a pass on them.
They could be the bad guys.
They could, yeah.
You don't know what the casting's for.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know if there was a spot to be punched in the face by Ben Affleck at any point, but that was the only way I would show up.
You want to take a punch from Affleck?
Yeah, why not? I could do any role. I feel like. Yeah.
All right. I'm still waiting to see Affleck as Batman.
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird.
I just kind of grew up with the whole Christian Bale thing, and then who was before him? Like Val Kilmer? From like the late 90s oh, yeah. Batman, yeah.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, yeah.
George Clooney.
George Clooney
was Batman at one point.
Everyone forgets that.
Yeah, everyone should forget that.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Was he Batman when Arnold Schwarzenegger was like the ice?
Mr. Freeze.
Yeah. Mr. Freeze, yeah. Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah.
Legendary.
What's your preference for Batman? Batman?
Oh gosh. Well,
out of those guys, you got Keaton, yeah. Clooney,
Christian Bale.
I haven't seen
Bale
one. Yeah.
And Kilmer.
I would have to go with Bale.
Yeah.
It's most recent.
I haven't seen Keaton or Clooney. Oh, however,
Keaton is like the 80s.
Yeah.
I'm a big 80s movies guy, so I've seen all of them.
Good. Glad we have one in the house. And I would have thought Clooney. I'm surprised.
Quality of movie not that high.
No.
It's not his fault though. He's still George Clooney.
Yeah, it's very true.
He's still George Clooney.
But do we instruct our guests to bring in things?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, we're together on this.
Yeah,
one,
it was the okay. same idea.
So okay. An event that we have coming up is
or a news item, anything you'd like.
Well, I guess you have a little Greek life plug here. But yeah. We do have a big event coming up. That'll be next week, right?
Yeah.
Next Thursday, October 23rd, is our big Safe Halloween event that we host in conjunction with the East Lansing community and the local like downtown merchants. So we shut down MAC from Linden to Bertram, and each sorority essentially is paired with one or two fraternities, and they have a booth somewhere down on MAC. Mm. And so the little kids get to come and trick-or-treat at the not only the downtown stores, but also at the fraternity and sorority tables that we have set up. So
yeah, it's a really cool event. Something I've enjoyed doing the last couple of years, being just an active member of my chapter. But each chapter will send, you know, at least 10, 15 people, 20 people to kind of hang out and just kind of interact. And it's a good way to kind of give back and, you know, just be involved on campus, especially, you know, during the fall, you know, walking on MACs. So it's a beautiful scenery. So should be a ton of little kids walking around. And it's a really fun event. Hopefully the weather will hold up and we'll be good to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't want to freeze any chilly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just damp. Fun way to provide like a safe environment for them to trick or treat in, because it can be difficult around here.
Oh, absolutely.
On Halloween weekend, but
yeah, because Halloween just gets ridiculous. Obviously, it's a much easier way to just kind of do it like a week before, you know, with no worries of what the campus is going to look like, you know, that whole Halloween weekend. So, it's a really fun event. I really enjoy it. I'm glad that, you know, the city of East Lansing likes to partner up with us every year.
Mm-hmm. Who else sponsors the event typically?
It's just put on by IFC and PC, but this year it's cool because we're inviting CASA and Big Brothers Big Sisters to come. And then also something else that's new is all of the kids will be able to get their own candy, but then they'll also have another bag while they're collect candy, and then we're going to donate those to children in hospitals.
Okay.
So, something cool that we're changing up this year.
Yeah. Cool. And CASA is the court-appointed special advocates for children that are involved in legal actions, and Big Brothers Big Sisters are just for people who have big brothers and big sisters. They're the little brothers and little sisters. No, I'm kidding. That's not it.
I was very confused for a few seconds.
It's only for tall people. Tall siblings only.
Yeah, tall and short siblings.
That's great. Well, thank you for doing that. And it's October 23rd, and the thinking is we're going to put it a full week before regular Halloween for the safety of the little people.
Yep.
Otherwise, it could be dangerous.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Outstanding.
That's the thought behind it. Yeah.
I think that's great. And I know that this radio station actually will be participating in some level. We're going to have a table or something there. Yeah.
Awesome.
What games do you guys usually, like, I've seen bouncy castles.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not allowed to say.
Yeah. There's just a bunch of little random things that, you know, are exciting. I know the bouncy house thing is pretty big.
Yeah.
I'll probably get up in there if I'm not too big to.
So you will also be participating in Save Halloween.
Blair
will be. No, I will. Blair will be in the bounce house.
Yeah, I will be in. I will be the bounce house regulator. So.
Sounds like a job I want.
Do you get a taser with that?
Perks being president.
I don't think any sort of
beanbag gun.
Yeah, that'd be maybe a little bit safer than squirt a taser. Gun. Yeah, squirt gun. Yeah.
Did you submit a resume for this position?
For the
bounce house regulator.
Yeah, I sent it into the Big Brother Little Brother program. Seeing who they were, all the second graders at one of the local elementary schools were just kind of looking it over, like, this guy seems like he'd be pretty fun.
He is big. Wow. He's bigger than my brother. Yeah.
I told him I was a fan of Michael Keaton as Batman. They were like, oh, we don't even know who Michael Keaton is. So.
Yeah, that's really niche.
You stump them with your confusion.
Yeah, this guy's got to be really old.
That's fine.
Like, oof.
So why don't we talk a little bit about what it's like to be a member of the Greek community here at Michigan State University, and you two would be good people to talk about that.
Yeah.
That's kind of your thing.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. Fraternity-wise, everyone has pretty much like a new member, like pledge program that they go through, and they're all typically between like 8, 9, 10 weeks. Recruitment every fall, a couple weeks in September. Bids are handed out at the end of the week, and the process starts the following week after. So,
and let me just stop you right there a little bit. So at the beginning of the school year in the fall, a little bit after school has started to give people kind of some time to settle in, then there's a recruitment period, and that basically involves going around to the different houses, meeting people. Is it structured? How does it work for both?
Ours is like night and day. Theirs is so organized. It's so much ran so much more efficiently. Ours is very like laid back. Usually just a bunch of guys hanging out. They'll do like theme nights or something. I know guys that do like, because like, the rush is Monday through Thursday, so they'll do like Monday night football or something like that. It'll be a basketball game on, or anything, a baseball game on this time of year. So it's a very laid back process for the guys. You go to which house or whichever house you want. A lot of times it's just guys that have either, friends or, I guess family members that are already in their fraternity, or, the guys will go out and just kind of, wing it and, just kind of figure out what house fits them the best. So, it's a tough process. A lot of chapters have like, pre-recruitment events, like a barbecue or, something like that, where kids can come by and hang out and meet people and, try to figure out what that house is all about. So, it's a difficult process if you're unfamiliar with it. When I joined, no one in my family was a member of Greek Life, so I was very, very nervous. Walking in trying to impress a bunch of guys that you don't even know. So, it can be very intimidating. It's kind of tough at times.
And for the sororities, it's a little bit more structured. You go to
way
all of
structured.
The
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, ours is split up into two weekends. Used to do it a whole week, but that just got too confusing with the class schedules. But so yeah, you start off it's called Spirit Day, and you get to visit all 14 chapter houses for about 20 minutes. You go meet one girl, move on to the next house, and then the next day you narrow your houses down to 10. And that day you learn about their philanthropy. So each sorority is involved in different philanthropy. And on this day we highlight what it is that we do, who we support. And then we'll do like a little craft for our philanthropy, making blankets or handy bags or something. And then the next weekend we have Values Day, which is a new thing that we started just last year, is this whole idea of a values-based recruitment. So getting away from, surface-level conversations or that, you can't really get to know someone by, and focusing more on your values and how they match up with the values of the house. So sometimes, people think those conversations can be awkward, but there's ways of going about it, saying like, what did you do in high school? Or what's your family like? What do you enjoy doing? Things like that. So that's our third day. And on that day, you visit 6 houses. And then... 14, 10, 6. Yeah. And then the last day is preference day, and you visit 2 houses. So that you get to experience a little bit of the chapter's ritual and really like talk more in depth and figure out like which of these 2 houses do I see myself the most in. And then after that, you go and you rank your preferences. And the following day is bid day, which is when everyone gets to find out what house they ended up in. So this year we had just over 1,200 girls register for recruitment, and 700 of them accepted bids. So that's the most we've ever had, which is crazy to us. But each house had about 45 girls in their pledge class. I think that was the quota. So
quota meaning
Meaning you can expect up to that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
What has it been? And do you know what the numbers have been like in past years?
Yeah, it's like steadily climbed. I think last year it was around 38, year before 30. But I was saying to Stefan earlier, and we've had a 100% increase in the amount of women who have signed up for recruitment. So just in 2009, we had around 600 women sign up. And this year, we were up to 1,200. So
that's pretty startling.
Yeah.
Startling increase.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. What do you see any numbers like that in IFC or?
Yeah, they since I was a freshman here in the fall of 2010, and I can definitely say the last 4 years recruitment has definitely dramatically gotten much larger. I don't have the specific numbers overall for IFC, but I do know that my own chapter our numbers like doubled over that span. So you don't have. We used to have, a couple hundred kids come out. I think we had 300 that came out this fall. So being that ours is a little, structured a little bit different, it's kind of, come on your own time. It's mm-hmm. it's definitely much different than the women's recruitment. So they are total troopers, and the time they put into that is just astonishing, really.
Yeah, with recruitment, you've seen, I think, an interesting question that I've often wondered is, you have an increasing international student population at Michigan mm-hmm. State. Mm-hmm. Do you see, a lot of interest from the international students in joining the Greek community? What's the interaction like there?
Not so much in the IFC and PC chapters, but you have to remember there are the other two Greek councils also mm-hmm. on Michigan State, mm-hmm. The Multicultural Greek Council and then the National Panhellenic Council. And I think a lot of the international students more so joint MGC
gravitate to them,
yeah. Which, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't really think that we have any international students in.
Yeah,
in PC.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not too familiar with too many of them. I don't think we do the greatest job of really reaching out and trying to expand. I guess, mm. but it's definitely difficult. Being that rush is so early on in the school year, no one's here in the summer. We try to set it up quickly and kind of advertise it as well as we can. A lot of houses will put up like recruitment banners all over campus or on their chapter house or something. So it's definitely tough, but I'm sure we could definitely find ways to incorporate, I guess, more of the student body into recruitment as a whole. So maybe next year with the new IFC board that starts in a couple of weeks. So.
Well, I can say there are 27 British students to select from at Michigan State. That's a huge market. Mm-hmm. Just suggesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I met a guy from London last fall when I was president of my own chapter, and he was thinking about rushing, and I loved him, and I got his number, and then he ended up coming out, so I was really disappointed. Mm. He would have been our only international student, so.
Yeah, that's a shame that he didn't come out. He didn't represent the Queen well, and I apologize on behalf of our nation to you.
I was disappointed.
Oh, well, I think when you get down to talking about value statements, there's 27 very polite people that you could have as a member of your community.
Thank you.
I would agree with that, yeah.
That's the closest thing you've done to give me a compliment, or our country a compliment.
Yes. I'm sure there's a way I could turn that into a backwards insult, but let's just move on. So one of the questions Stefan had kind of put together for us to dig into what the experience is like here as opposed to maybe other places in the Big Ten is how the size of the Greek number of houses and number of members overall, how does MSU compare to other schools in the Big Ten? I went to a different university in Michigan mm-hmm. As an undergrad and was a member of the Greek community there, and I think I can't put my finger on it, but there are definitely tangible differences. Mm-hmm. What is your experience?
From my experiences, talking with other members, different fraternities, I guess mostly in the Big Ten, it's comparable. But I would say that the percentage of students here that end up going Greek are a little bit lower versus other universities. But then again, we have, I think, 40,000 undergrads, sure. somewhere around there. So our student body is a little bit larger, but. Yeah, I think schools like Wisconsin are definitely huge. I know they have 45,000-50,000 undergrads. Their school is mm-hmm. massive. U of M is I think a little bit larger of a Greek life than
us.
Yeah,
I think U of M's a little bit bigger, but still comparable.
Yeah, IU is a little bit bigger. Indiana's a little bit bigger. Mostly, I think they're pretty similar. Being that our Greek life has grown, I would say over the last 4 or 5 years, pretty handily. So
yeah, I think that we're starting to get more competitive.
Okay.
Now, mm-hmm. but I don't have specific numbers.
Yeah, me either. Just from dealing with, you know, guys, I guess, from that I know from different universities, I think ours is definitely a lot closer than it was 4 or 5 years ago.
Definitely.
So. And you both in your positions have attended national conferences with with other Greek communities around the United States. Can you talk about kind of how is that experience beneficial to you as leaders? Definitely. And has there been like one idea that you said, I want that to come to Michigan State?
Yeah, definitely. Well, so in February, we attended AFLV, the Association of Fraternal Leadership and Values.
Yeah, you
I
got
believe.
Them. There you go. Yeah.
Acronyms are always a pleasure.
So we attended that in Indianapolis. That was like our first time that IFC and PC like really came together. And it was like honestly such a cool experience going, and all of these other councils from colleges all over the country were there too. And we did get to meet with the Big Ten councils also, which was interesting. And,
oh, yeah.
Like, that seemed like a knowing, like, oh, yeah, like there was some sort of secret handshake.
No, it was, it's always cool for me to meet different guys that are part of my chapter. But it was because Sigma Chi has this leadership workshop called Belfor that every Sigma Chi chapter in the country sends to. So I've been to that twice, being, you know, on e-board of my own chapter for a few years. That was, you know, that was a great experience. But to go to a leadership conference that incorporated all of Greek life, it was overwhelming for me. I mean, it was so cool. It was a coolest experience. I loved it. I'm all about that stuff. So yeah, I definitely made quite a name for myself in the Big Ten meetings.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not afraid to speak my mind per se.
There's a chatter.
Yeah, a little passionate, and I think it. A lot of people seem to like it, and some people are like, "This guy's got to stop," which is pretty common. You know, I hear that a lot, so I'm pretty used to it. But
okay,
it was a great experience. It's definitely, it makes you feel better when you speak with, I would say, you know, different people from all over the country that deal with similar issues. And I think one of the biggest challenges you face as a president is at times when things will get tough on you, you feel alone. And it's not that your friends don't support you or anything, but you feel, you know, the weight of the, you know, the chapters on your shoulders. And to know that, you know, college students all across the country are dealing with similar issues, and you can kind of talk and see how they handle things, and you can talk about how you did this or what can be done differently. It definitely helps out a ton. So it was a great experience. I think we were there for 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, left Sunday morning.
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was in Indianapolis. So it was really cool. We definitely enjoyed it. I was really grateful that we were able to go. So. Mm-hmm.
Alyssa, Bella actually just mentioned kind of like one of the challenges is that you sometimes can feel alone as a student leader, like the weight that, you know, is on your shoulders. What have you faced as a challenge, would you say, during your tenure as president?
Oh, I definitely agree with that. I think another thing, too, is the fact that you're responsible not only for yourself, but responsible for other people, too, and that they will count on you. So even though you might have this exam that you're studying for, you know, you have to also attend this meeting with such and such, and like they are expecting you to be there. So it's finding that balance between taking care of yourself while also like making sure that everyone else is getting taken care of too, but not letting your priorities fall short. So that's been my biggest I think hurdle to overcome, is like spreading myself too thin. And but I think that I've become very good at time management.
That's what I was going to say, is time management definitely kicks in quick. You've got to be able to balance your personal life as well as, you know, overseeing, I guess, in our position, thousands of students versus, I guess, a chapter president where it could be, you know, 40, 50, 100, 120 or so. So the pressure is definitely there. And, you know, I've definitely had times in, you know, my tenures where, you know, I've had an exam the next day and, you know, a disaster happens and everyone comes to me to figure it out. I'm just like, oh my goodness. So try to not study at the chapter house. That way I'm at least at the library. And I'm just like, oh, I'm not there, but
do you study an undisclosed location?
Yeah. Just don't even tell them. I study in like the basement of like McDonald's. Don't even get cell phone service. No one even knows I'm there.
You have a safe house.
Yeah.
Blair can be found in the steam tunnels of MSU, recently renovated.
That's why there's so many Tower Society members, is so that they can get away to study safely.
One of the questions, we've been talking to our guests about kind of big picture issues, both at Michigan State and otherwise, and related to their area. And one thing that we often hear about with the Greek community is the amount of philanthropy that goes on. I mean, it's the numbers that I hear sometimes are staggering. Can you just talk about that for each of your respective organizations, and maybe if there are numbers out there in the past year that you want to highlight?
Yeah, definitely. Philanthropy is a huge reason why we had to add a position on to Panhellenic Council, is because the council before me realized that we have all of these 14 great philanthropies on campus, but how can we also, you know, get girls to attend and support each other's philanthropies, but then also come together for one certain cause that would unite us as a Panhellenic community. So with the new addition of our VP philanthropy, we've now taken it on to be the Circle of Sisterhood. Is something that we support now. Still working on that. Haven't had an event for it yet. But in terms of numbers, it's like hundreds of thousands.
I mean, we had 190,000 last spring alone for Greek Week. So
yeah.
I mean, I don't know the numbers altogether, but that was, I mean, that was pretty substantial amount of money just for that, I guess, event that we put on every spring. So but yeah, I mean, she's talking about how they just add VP of philanthropy, and that's currently Faith's position. So we're actually adding that position as well in the next couple of weeks, because it just, she's been doing it essentially for both councils, and for her to not have a counterpart, I mean, she's a workhorse, so she can handle it, but it would definitely make things a little bit easier to have someone to kind of partner up with you and obviously be the face of that position and that aspect of Greek life from a fraternal perspective. So I know it's huge for us as well. Definitely the biggest challenge, like Alyssa said, I think we do very well individually. But outside of Greek week we do well as a community. If we could incorporate some sort of year-long philanthropic event that the fraternities and sororities are constantly working together, I think you could see some staggering numbers. I know that some other Big Ten schools put on very, very successful events that, you know, for a person like me, I see that and I'm like, oh, that's what I want to do. Like, if they can do it, I know we can. Like, Penn State, I think, has the dance marathon. And it's like one of the biggest philanthropy events in the country every year. Raises, like, I think a couple of years ago, raised like $13 million. Like,
what?
Like staggering numbers. So,
well, in fairness, though, there's not much to do at Penn State.
Very true. So, literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. So that, I don't know.
Okay.
If you can correct for that statistically.
I still get to what from me. That's a staggering statistic.
That may be the numbers over the first couple of years.
Yeah.
But either way, it's still remarkable. So, it's definitely something like, it kind of sets the bar high. I think we'll get there eventually. It just takes some time to kind of work it in and kind of create that culture and on MSU's campus. So,
has it always been a major focus of Greek life, is philanthropy on campus?
Yeah,
I would definitely say so. I think we do very well. Again, there are some events on different chapters throughout the campus that that incorporate and do a great job for their own fraternity. If we can find out, a way to kind of get fraternities to work together and kind of partner up and donate to whoever's foundation it is, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's all going for a great cause. So one of the things that's going on right now, I know, Delta Chi is trying to put on a 3-on-3 basketball tournament coming up here in the next couple months, and they've reached out to me to kind of connect with my chapter and see if we can kind of partner up. And I think that's kind of like a great stepping stone to get two chapters to work together. And because their national philanthropy is the Jimmy V Foundation. So come November, when Jimmy V Week comes up, they want to put on this basketball tournament and kind of have like different age groups, and looking for another chapter to kind of help them out with the manpower. So I think we're gonna hopefully in the next 4 weeks or so, we'll see that event. I think it'll be really successful. So,
On a different tack, and one question that I think comes up in terms of challenges is the the perceived or real question is there a divide that you two see between the Greek community and like people who aren't Greeks at Michigan State? Do you see that, or do you feel that that's more of a perception versus a reality? I mean,
I feel like it's hard to say. I mean, I definitely do understand the stereotype that people have of Greek communities, because, I mean, all too often what they you know, what gets put in the news about us is a negative story that happened, versus, you know, this philanthropy happened this weekend and this is how much money was raised and the awareness and whatnot. So I do understand that, like, that is kind of the shadow that's cast on Greek life, but I don't necessarily feel like all students have like a negative feel for us or something. I mean, you think of all the people who have gone through recruitment too, and, you know, maybe some people, I mean, like I said, we had 1,200 go through and 700 accept bid. So those 500, maybe they didn't think it was right for them, but at least they gave it a shot. So I do think that more students than we even think do understand Greek life, understand the benefits.
Yeah,
of it.
I think the culture of it can definitely play a real factor. I think if we as a student body, if like we set up more events where non-Greeks did things with Greeks, I think that would kind of educate both on each, I guess, each, you know, type of student. And I think it'd be much more willing to work together, and it would definitely help out a ton. I don't think there's a huge gap, but it definitely exists. So that's kind of like the culture you're always, the stereotype, I guess, you're trying to crack, is that, you know, Greek life students don't necessarily isolate themselves from the rest of the university. So I'd love to see, you know, IFC and PC and MGC and PhC kind of partner up here with some, you know, non-Greek organizations and kind of set up an event. And that's one of the things
I mean, we have started to do it too last year for Greek Week when we did Relay for Life. That was through Spartans Fighting Cancer. Yeah. So we also do support the Dance Marathon. So not all the things that we go to are exclusively Greek, but I think it's easier for us to go to an event that's hosted by a non-Greek than I think for a non-Greek to come to a Greek event, because it's probably intimidating with 3,000 members.
If you've had like a bad experience or something with whether it was recruitment or, you know, just, I don't know, some sort of social interaction, I can definitely see why that would be a little intimidating, but we're not all that bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I mean, it's there are differences in, you know, folks that go out for Greek life in the first place. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're a little more social because they want to join a social club that's, you know, value based, as you say. And they, maybe there are real differences that make it more difficult to approach a Greek from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh darn it, we can all get along.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, I swore in there, Stefan.
Well, you said gosh darn it.
I apologize for that. I get a little riled up.
Yeah, you're very offensive. I think.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I'm American and you're British. So that's kind of our thing.
You know, I think to touch quickly on two big picture items, are you both are you season ticket holders for football?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so as you know, there has been a conversation about the student section at football games.
Oh, don't even get Blair started.
I can feel
on
Blair.
This.
His temperature is rising like a Thanksgiving broccoli.
Oh yeah,
Blair, do you have a comment that you'd like to?
Oh, this is bad. I'm probably one of the smaller percentage of students you could talk about. I could probably write an essay on this topic, because I'm just that much of a diehard.
That won't be good for the podcast if you just write an essay, right?
Yeah, that would be awful. But it's definitely, in my opinion, it's definitely a combination of things.
Okay.
I've been a Michigan State fan for a majority of my life, so I went through, you know, the John L. Smith period and where, you know, the old
Spartans. You've done your time.
Yes. Yeah. You know what I mean? One of my first Michigan State football games was 2006 Michigan State Notre Dame, when it was like monsooning and we were up like 19 with like 8 minutes to go and we choked. So I know what that, you know, what that, the whole Sparty, stereotype per se that comes with, you know, Michigan State football. But I think what's happened is D'Antonio's come in and he's done such a phenomenal job over the last, you know, 7-8 years that our program has kind of grown very quickly. And I think a lot of the, you know, I it's no surprise that application rates increased after we had back-to-back Final Fours 2008, 2009.
In the basketball program.
Yeah, in the basketball program. And then I know that was when I came here. I know application the application rate increased, and the same happened from what I know as football got better. Because in 2011 we won 11 games, 2012 7-6, and the last two. I mean, D'Antonio's had 3-11 plus win seasons in the last 4 years. So I mean, I think it's grown a ton. I think part of the problem with that is that our fan base is a little spoiled, to be honest, especially the current Michigan State students. We don't really know what it's like to, if you weren't, you know, kind of raised a Michigan State fan, which obviously in this state, you know, until maybe recently, I mean, I know growing up, majority of my friends are Michigan fans just because Michigan was very successful in the 90s and early 2000s, and they tend to have a bigger fan base than us. But I think our fan base has grown a ton over like the last 5 years, and I just think there was kind of like a sense of, you know, entitlement now that we kind of show up and we're like, oh, we don't, you know, all we have to do is show up. We're just going to win every single game. But at the same time, you know, I've noticed, I per se, that the student section has been a bit of an issue over the last couple seasons, especially 2012 when we lost, you know, 5 Big Ten games by 13 points. I mean, it was tough. I remember sitting in Nebraska 2 years ago and it was 30 degrees in the end of October, and you know, they came back from a pretty ridiculous game. But
what's the fix? How do you fix? Name one thing you do. Would you pen students in?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough because I think part of the problem is that with general admission, students show up. You know, it's first come, first serve. So if we have a big game, you got to get here 2-3 hours early, and that kind of ruins the whole tailgate experience for you because you'll be sitting in line for, you know, 3-4 hours. I know people were in line for the Nebraska game 8 hours before kickoff. And it's just like, you sit there for 8 hours and you got a football game. That's tough.
People were lining up for 8 hours?
Yeah, because I think kickoff was like 8:10. And I know one of my buddies was in line like 12:15. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, he was like one of the only people over there. But
he must be lining up for the Michigan game now, then?
Yeah.
Is he outside now?
Yeah, he might be. But
live casting.
That's kind of the problem that I think that comes with general admission is people show up and then people show up kind of later on, and they'll show up at game time and expect to, you know, get in quickly. And so many students show up 10, 15 minutes before games just because college students procrastinate greatly. And then, you know, all of a sudden the kickoff happens and you hear, you know, one of the commentators will be like, oh, the Michigan State student section looks empty. And it's not necessarily because it's empty. It's because people are still going, you know, still kind of filing in. So
How long does it take to get the rest of the fan, the ticketed, seated fans through?
It's not that bad, really. The thing with Michigan, the student section is you walk in, you know, obviously they search you and stuff. You got to swipe your ID, you get a wristband. I think so many students show up so late, that's why the student section doesn't fill up to like 5 or 6 minutes into the football game. But I know other schools set aside, you know, student like sections in the student section for organizations or like some, like on a seniority basis, and they've had like essentially the same problems with people showing up, you know, late for games or people not showing up. And you know, the risk with that is if you show up or if you know go up by seniority base, and you know, for the most part, seniors would be in the first, you know, 10, 15 rows of the student section per se. If they're not coming to games, the last thing you want is your first 5-10 rows of your student section empty.
Yeah.
So I totally can see why they go with the general admission. It's just, it's a tough problem right now. I think the students just kind of, we kind of have to like man up and just kind of hold each other accountable. I know people, you know, people will leave and no one says anything. And I know when my friends try to leave, I'm like, why are you leaving? Like I very rarely ever leave a game early. I actually left 3 minutes into the fourth quarter of the Nebraska game, so a little disappointed in myself. But
you should be disappointed in yourself.
I'm disappointed. We are disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Needless to say, it that was a combination, I think, of a lot of rare situations. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, the week before we played, you know, Wyoming for homecoming, it was like 80 degrees.
It was nice.
Yeah, it was insane. I wore shorts and a shirt and I was sweating.
Bacon.
And then I had two pairs of socks.
Baking.
Four layers on, and it was pretty cold.
I've been trying to get them to get served bacon in the
that would be awesome.
Student section for years.
Yeah, hand warmers or something, maybe even hats or gloves. I don't even know.
Bacon.
Anything. Hot bacon? Bacon and hot chocolate.
It solves everything.
Yeah, bacon's pretty good.
Including warming your hands on bacon though?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, okay. Not for everybody. No, vegetarians.
Not for anyone. Alyssa, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think Blair just about summed it up, but I mean, I don't know.
She's not as fluent, I guess, as I am.
I'm not as fluent as Blair. However, last weekend, I was one of the students who left early, too. I was up there with my friends in the top section, and we were
freezing. Yeah. And for early, I mean, I know it's Michigan in October. Michigan weather is pretty ridiculous, but those temperatures that early, especially a week after, it was actually pretty nice.
For a game that takes over 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah, and that's that. Honestly, I think that's the biggest problem, actually, is the length of the games. Because, like I said, I was at Mississippi State and Auburn. That game was like 4 hours and 10 minutes long. And, like, it was just absurdly long with TV timeouts. So I think the length of the game is a problem as well. I think, and I think Mark Hollis is a phenomenal athletic director, and I totally have his back. I think he'll figure out a way to incorporate, you know, some sort of system that either, I don't know if the student section will shrink or whatever the case may be, but he'll get people to stay there because, you know, obviously with the successful program we've had, people are going to want to be at Spartan Stadium on Saturdays. So,
well, we're just about out of time. Stefan, did you want to talk about the week ahead, or did you want to ask one more question about?
I think the only, and I'll tie in with the week ahead. The one event that I did have is by the time this is taped is Michigan State versus U of M just got announced for a 3:30 kickoff on October the 25th live on ABC. So that's the kind of the sports wrap. But I did kind of want to close on a much more serious and kind of topic, and that is to talk with you both about kind of a national conversation that's happening on college campuses across the United States, and that's about the issue of sexual assault on college campuses, a very serious issue. We've talked about it on this podcast before with our guests, and what do you believe should be the role of the Greek community in those issues? You as student leaders, kind of what do you hear from students? Do you hear concern? What do you hear from people at Michigan State?
Yeah, definitely. We've already started the discussion, and ASMSU has contacted us because they want us to be an integral part of the It's on Us campaign. Obviously, we realize being such a large organization, the impact that we could have on this. Obviously, Blair has spoken a little bit as to educating the fraternity chapters on it, me as well with the sororities. And I think that if we can reach out and get the Greek community involved in this in some way, and I mean, that's 11% of our student population alone. So reaching out to them, getting them involved, making them want to participate in this campaign would be huge.
And it's making it succeed. To kind of go off that, it's something that we just started last week. We had our first meeting with ASMSU and multiple other organizations to talk about it. And James, the ASMSU president, I think I got the vibe from him that he kind of wanted us to be like the front runners of it. And I couldn't agree more. Especially, you know, we mentioned earlier, a lot of times you'll hear, you know, negative things in the news about, you know, Greek life. And I think it comes with a culture that we have. And I think that if you have, you know, roughly 4,000 students on our campus kind of, you know, pledging online and, you know, putting up banners, you know, like, you know, kind of representing that we're all about, you know, preventing sexual assault. I think that would be a great way to kind of, I don't know, integrate, you know, Greeks and non-Greeks and kind of come together for a great cause. And I'm excited about it. I think it's a great idea. And, you know, thankfully in my term, I haven't had anything come up where I've had to deal with that. But from, you know, my experiences and my educational background from a sexual assault perspective is that a lot of times it's not reported. So just because you don't know about it doesn't mean that it's not happening. So I think, you know, as we try to come up with events or something to kind of put together to get students involved and to get students to pledge together, I think IFC and PC organizations especially are going to be very important to kind of lead the way and set an example. So that'll be a tough task, but I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Well, definitely something that everyone can rally behind. And thank you again to Blair Montgomery and Alyssa Fritz, the presidents of the Interfraternity Council and the Panhellenic Council. Thanks for taking the time. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk with you again in the future and hear more about your years and what's been going on. And to my co-sidekick, Stefan, pip, pip.
Yep, always a pleasure. And I do say that with all sincerity.
You can't say it like that. It makes it sound insincere. This has been another edition of Red Cedar Rancor. We hope that you're a little bit more rancorous as a result of listening to it.